Go ahead and look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And also while you're there, when you get there, take and save your place in Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to read Joshua 24 later on in the message today. In the very first part of this year, 2015, I want us to see ourselves being poised again to receive more from God and more through God than we ever have before. The Bible says the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. That means until you receive your glorified body, your full day, your path is to get brighter and brighter and brighter, even bearing fruit in your older age is what God tells us in His Word. Amen? This series is called Moving Forward in Life. And this morning's message is actually entitled Live Smart. We're going to talk about some things today from God's Word again, how God would give us ability through His own principles, His own truths, His own Word, to live a life that will help us to move forward in every area of our lives, because I believe our path is going to grow brighter and brighter and brighter this year. I believe 2015 is set to be a year of great intercessory prayer and then results also from that prayer. I'm believing God for a great harvest in our nation, in our city, and also the nations of the earth. I'm believing God for an increase of wealth to our cities, upon the church, the body of Christ, to be tools to be used to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm believing God for Israel to receive the gospel more and more and more this year and see mighty breakthroughs take place in that land of promise and covenant as well. And may God also, I believe God, to use you this year in ways you cannot even think about or imagine, because God in you wants to come out of you in even greater ways this year than in years past. Amen? You got to believe that God's a God of new beginnings. Most of us have had a job before in the past where the management have said to do certain things you might have found to be foolish or seem to be stupid. And we ask them, why are we doing things this way in this place of work? And their answer back to us many times may be because it's SOP, Standard Operating Procedure. To us, it might seem like it's stupid operating procedure. To them, it's standard operating procedure. And then as time goes by, some wise person hopefully comes along and finds a better way to do the thing we've been doing for sometimes years and years and years and bring forth better results by their way of doing that same thing, again, in a wise way. This, again, is to us going to be a thing that's called best practices. I'm going to speak here for the next few weeks here in January about best practices, because God wants us to break out of the mold of standard operating procedures into the realm of doing things the best way, doing things God's way. Even our own nation's government sometimes operates on standard operating procedures, and it brings us sometimes neutral results, even bad results, because things are changing around us all the time. This morning's not about government. It's not about education. It's not about our business as well. It's more about our personal lives. What are we doing in our lives as standard operating procedures that God wants to replace some things in our minds, in our hearts, with what is called best practices from the Word of God by God's grace and by God's Spirit. These practices have been developed largely by our family, by our peers, by our culture, by television, by the media, by movies. And those things around us don't always have God's answers for doing things the best way in our lives. That's why I encourage you guys again to have a vibrant relationship with God, where you're reading your Bible, memorizing scriptures, knowing God's Word, spending time in God's presence, because God gives you the best way to do things. The best practices in life will always come from the living God, who's the God who brings forth expansion, the God that multiplies, and the God that works through us in great ways that we can't even ask and think and imagine many times in our lives. At the beginning of this year, I want to take us to a different direction where God's Word will help us realize and see some new practices that God wants to instill in us. In your bulletin this morning, there is a place to write some notes down. Please find something to write with. You cannot memorize all the things I bring you today. I'm going to go through the Bible in the Old Testament, New Testament as well, get some principles to you from that. And also want you to take and write some things down, memorize some things in the future, and see if God can speak to your life also what He wants to bring good things in your life even today. You know, as Cheryl shared this morning here a few minutes ago, she actually was echoing what God was saying to my heart as well. There's people in this room today that God has in store for you beauty for ashes. He has in store for you taking those things that have been destructive out of your life to replace them with things that are actually constructive and that brings life and brings blessing and brings expansion to you that only He can bring. I'm not just saying that as a preacher. I'm saying that as a person that's hearing God's voice speaking to you today. And I pray to God right now, Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, the beginning, O God, of this year of 2015. Let our minds, our hearts, O God, be set right now to seek your face and know, Father God, you always have the best in mind for us. And may your best, O God, be accomplished in us and through us as you give us, O God, ears to hear again this day. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23 deals with neutral things of life, neutral areas of life. There's many neutral areas of life. We make decisions about these neutral things. Paul the Apostle speaks by the Holy Spirit, and he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are actually beneficial or helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things will edify, strengthen, or be for the good. Now, we know that Paul doesn't mean that murder and stealing and things of adultery are good for us. He talks here about neutral things. There's some things out there that are actually neutral in life, and he says, these things are lawful for me, but I choose to discern what is actually going to be beneficial, what's going to edify, what's going to bring life, and what's going to also bring death, destruction, and bring bad things my way or to folks around me as well. I pray in 2015, don't just be yourself motivated. Be also like Cheryl said, others motivated. Realize your life, your actions, your attitude, your words affect not just yourself. They also affect all the folks around you who watch you to see what God really is like, as hopefully God is performing himself or showing himself, revealing himself in us and through us for those around us to be showed off to God, to folks around us, who God is and how much God really does love us in this life. How do we know what are best practices? God's Word is our instruction book for life. The truths and principles we need to live our lives by are found in the pages of the Old and New Testament in your Bibles. Amen? I gave you guys here, hopefully almost all you guys have received a letter I sent out on Friday that gives them there a daily Bible reading guide. I encourage you guys to take and read that. If that's not what really works for you, to read your Bible every day for about 30 minutes a day, find a pattern yourself to read God's Word on a daily basis. If you don't do that, you rob yourself. Amen? Because God's Word is life. God's Word is alive. God's Word is quick. God's Word is sharp. God's Word discerns. God's Word gives wisdom. God brings a word in due season that can actually bless your life, change your life, and use your life to expand the kingdom of Almighty God. You rob yourself by not reading God's Word on a daily basis. I like also what the preacher said one time. He said, I always read my Bible before I pray because when I read the Bible, it kind of plows my heart up and prepares me for faith that when I pray, I know God hears, God acts, God answers, and God gives me sometimes even prayer points to pray about as I read the Bible. So read that guide you received in the mail perhaps and try to customize that somehow, some way to your own schedule. But I'm saying to you guys, I plead with you guys this year, 2015, let's be Bible reading, Bible believing, Bible practicing people in Jesus' name. Amen? Moving on. In this series, we're going to also look at some of the best principles in life we should actually embrace so our lives will move towards and forward to all the things that God has for us. Today is about living smart in Jesus' name. There's three main take-home points today that you can write down in your notes here. The first take-home point today is, number one, to live smart, you must, first of all, choose your road. Choose your road. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That word way means I am the path. I am the road. I am the place you go by. I am the expressway in life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 on the screen here. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The good news here is God never puts down in his word something impossible for us to accomplish. If he says, understand what my will is, that means it's actually possible to understand what is the will of the Lord. I told the congregation here time and again that the main thing I saw in the Old Testament as Israelites left Egypt and goes into the promised land towards that in the wilderness, all of them had the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. Wherever those pillars moved at, they followed that as the will of God in their lives. I believe the will of God is easy for all believers to obtain who will take and look for God's word, read God's word, spend time with God. God reveals his will to us on a daily basis. Amen? Understanding God's will. There's also a familiar term we hear today that says, I'm in the moment. I'm in the moment. Well, the fact is, all of us choose roads and paths to take that lead to a thing called destinations. I live in Round Rock, Texas. I get on I-35 most days. I drive down I-35 south towards Pflugerville. Sometimes I get on a thing that's called Toll Road 45. Toll Road 45 goes east and it also goes west. I must decide in my mind when I get on that toll road exit very fast, do I take and go towards the east towards the airport, or do I take and I go towards the west towards Cheryl's favorite place called Lakeline Mall? Not really. Praise God for her South African descent. But I'm saying I got to decide in my brain, what is my destination? Is it the airport? Is it Cedar Park? Do I go east or do I go west? That determines which path I take when I get on the exit ramp and go either east or go west. God also says you can't just live in the moment. You must make plans inside your own mind, your own heart. What is my destination that God's laid out for my life? And what road do I take to get to that destination? All right? So God is saying today in 2015, January the 4th, where do you want to be at December 31st, 2015? Where do you want to be at 5 years from now? Where do you want to be at for eternity? Hopefully all those things are being things, are things that God's revealing to you to get on the right roads, the right paths that go to those destinations by God's grace and by God's help. That might mean making some friends, reading some books, going to some seminars, making some sacrifices, because those roads sometimes take other folks going along with you to get to the very destination God has and planned for your life. Destinations are at the end of roads. They don't just happen. You get there on purpose. Amen? You might know what someone today that says, my whole life is caving in all around me. All things are falling apart. I don't know how I got here. Well, the truth is, they made some decisions, they got on some roads, perhaps maybe a long time ago, to get them their destinations they're at today in their lives. Their lives are falling apart because of choices they made, roads they got onto many months, weeks, or years ago. God's word again says, I redeem the time. I pay back the things, mistakes you make. If you make wrong calculations, I am your divine navigator that says, recalculate. And realize I've only got plan A for your life. I will forgive. I will erase. I will redeem time. But I also will give you a guidance and direction and navigation for the future, says the Lord. Look now at the book of Joshua, chapter 24. In Joshua, we have an aging leader who's not quite dead yet. Moses has now died. Joshua's taken his place. The anointing of God's on Joshua to lead the people of Israel because God saw the heart that Joshua had. In Joshua 24, verse 14, Joshua's talking now to young people, a new generation, trying to impart to them the heart he has, that God has for Israel, to actually not just be in the promised land, but also thrive and multiply in the promised land. God has you in this city, this time, this season, not just to survive only. You're here to thrive and multiply in Jesus' name. Amen. You got to believe that and understand that. Joshua 24, 14 says, now therefore, fear, have respect, have awe for the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and also in Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, in the YMCA, everybody gets a trophy. They say, as long as you're sincere and do your best at the games and sports involved in the YMCA, everybody gets a trophy just for trying hard, for being there, giving it your best. Well, that's really not even true in real life. You actually put gasoline in your car. How many folks realize you go to a gas station and put diesel fuel into a Cadillac or whatever kind of car you've got there, it's bad news for your engine. And vice versa, putting unleaded gas into a diesel pickup is bad news also for the engine of that truck. Even at a gas station, you can do your best and be sincere, but not get a trophy. You can get a clanked up engine, amen? The same thing's true of recipes, cakes, making cookies, going to work, you're raising your kids. All these things, you can be sincere and do your best, but you still need to have the right things being done there to receive the reward, the trophy at the other end for doing things the best and doing things God's way and the right way and being smart with that in your life. Joshua made a choice in these verses here and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And because he made that choice, what did God do to reward him down the road? Let's look now at verse 31, the same chapter, what it says. "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who actually outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." He says here, because he made a good choice, a God choice, a best practice, it actually affected all the people of Israel for the good, and also even generations beyond them were affected for the good. A smart thing to do is put God first in your life and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I don't care what laws get passed. I don't care what the culture changes like. God's word remains the same today, yesterday, forevermore. It's still yes and amen. I will read God's word, know God's word, believe God's word, stand on God's word, God's principles, God's truths. And I'll not have a bad attitude toward my culture around me, but I will pray for them, and I will resist what Satan tries to do around me, and I will embrace best practices from God's word in Jesus' name. Amen. Taking the path of Christ is available to all people free of charge. Our salvation comes free. It cost Jesus Christ his life. It is free of charge. All those who call upon the name, the Bible says, they shall be saved. And then God gives us a thing called the great exchange through salvation. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 on the screen here as well, it says this: "Come unto me, Jesus, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." These are words of the traveler, words of the path, words of a way, words of a road. All you that are weary and heavy laden along the trails and paths and roadways of life, come unto me and I will give you rest. What that word rest actually means there is God puts you in the right, a round circle into a round hole instead of a square peg in a round hole. You become everything God called you to become when Jesus Christ is first in your life. You're going to find yourself getting rid of all kinds of frustrations, disappointments, and bad decisions when God becomes first in your life. And you're going to be a round circle in a round hole, not a square peg in a round hole. Amen. Doing things God's way in God's plan. Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus Christ said to the disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So first of all, we find that serving or getting saved is free. Salvation comes by those who call upon the name of the Lord. But following Jesus Christ, this verse says, will cost you everything. Those who follow Jesus and become disciples of Jesus, not just converts of Jesus, it says they will pick up their cross, which means a symbol of death, dying to self, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, they shall live. Yet not them, but Christ shall live in them. And the life they now live, they shall live by faith in the Son of God. And the good news is, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Following Christ along his path, his road, may cost you everything, but the good news is, you cannot outgive God. Amen? It may cost everything for a season, but God will always pay back more. And God's a God that blesses exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think or imagine, because God is just like that. Amen? Number two, smart thing to do in the first part of this new year is, number two is continue on your journey. Continue on your journey. You folks that are here today that know Christ as Savior, you're on a path and a journey right now. Now, that path has been ordained by God. I'm saying continue on your journey in the name of Jesus. One thing I want for this congregation and myself also this year, I want persistence, I want longevity, and I want commitment. Three foreign words to our culture in many ways. Persistence, longevity, commitment. You say, well, that's three things. Well, those three things add up to continuing on in your journey. Amen? May God place inside of us bulldog tenacity to say, "Father God, I've heard what you said. I heard it very plainly, very clearly. It's down inside of my heart. Nothing shall dissuade me from doing what God's called me to do in 2015. And I will not be the person I was in a bad way in the past, but I will see myself becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, full of His Word, His faith, His power, His anointing, His love, His abilities. And I shall see people being multiplied into God's kingdom even through what God does in my life this year more than last year by God's power and grace. In the parable of the sower, this parable of the sower, Jesus Christ speaks of the seed falling into four kinds of soil. And we that are Bible scholars all know that the soil talks about the hearts of mankind. And it says the first kind of soil was like the packed down soil of the path. It was very, very hard. And of course, it says all the birds come along and eat that up, and it's all trampled on by men. Men trample down the seed, and it's gone. Then it says also there's a seed that was sown among the stones. And it says it only sprung up for a season, for a while. Then the sun came down, burns it up, and it all goes away by being burned by the sun. Then also the third kind of seed goes down to the place that's called the thorns, the thistles, and the weeds. And the weeds spring up with the seed and chokes out the life, and no lasting fruit takes place from that. And of course, the fourth kind of soil is the good soil that brings forth 30, 60, and 100-fold what was sown upon that soil. Look now in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to spend some time on this parable of the sower and bring some truths here from this about continuing on your journey for God. It says in Matthew 13, verse 18 and 19, the first kind of soil is talked about here. Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it," notice it said didn't understand it there, "then the wicked one comes, snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside," by the path, on the path. I think as I did research or looked at this scripture here about the path and the place where men had walked at was the rocky soil and the weeded up thorny soil had things that were obstructions that actually made the seed burn up or get choked out. This kind of soil could have been good soil at one time, but something made that soil become packed down and hard, so now the seed cannot take and penetrate and put down roots and bear fruit. And it says in the Bible, what caused this soil that was good to become bad is men trampled on it and made it a path and a roadway where seed could not take and thrive in that. What God said to my heart was in 2015, some of you folks in 2014 had some men or women tread on your hearts and create some hard spots in you. You might have gone through bankruptcy. You might have gone through losing your best friend. You might have gone through Facebook attacks. You might have gone through divorce. You might have gone through times where folks were scandalized you, talked behind your back, and men trampled on your heart somehow, some way, betraying you perhaps. And through that, they trampled on your heart. That brought down a path, and it brought down a hardened place. But God wants to take that hardened place and turn it into fallow ground. Because the Bible says, "Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." That forgiveness brings a plow. That forgiveness brings forth cultivation. That forgiveness brings forth a softening of the fallow ground, and that hardened place can become good soil once again. That can receive the seed of God's word and bring forth 30, 60, or 100-fold in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Matthew 13, 20 and 21 goes on and says, "He who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution comes and arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." He falls away. I told you guys, I've been here on Wednesday nights, especially that back in our Christ for the Nations Bible school days in the early 1980s, a very popular rock star got saved and came to our campus to be with his fiance who was there on campus. He was being discipled by our instructors and teachers. You'd know his name if I gave his name out to you guys. He made a few albums back in that era as well. But as the weeks were going by there, his close rock star friends began to pull him to the side and said, "Man, what do you think you're doing? Giving all this up for all this Christian junk and Christian stuff." Persecution, tribulation came his way. He could not stand against that. He told his fiance at CF&I, she said, "I'm sorry, I can't follow Jesus Christ the way that you do. I'm going to go back to my own Jewish roots. I'm going to go back to my own kind of secular type lifestyle mixture there. And he turned his back upon what he received. They received the gospel of joy for a season. When persecution, tribulation came for the word's sake, he quickly fell away. That's why God wants churches like ours to be those who help make disciples and help people put down roots. So when tribulation or persecution comes for the word's sake, they will not fall away, but they shall weather the storm, like Cheryl said, the oaks of righteousness. The storms may come, they shall blow right on by, because the roots remain intact, and that tree shall stand by God's grace. Amen? We need to let the word of God work down into the core of our being, put down some roots in us in 2015. Then verses 22 and 23 goes on. The third and fourth kinds of soil talked about here says, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word out, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands the word, and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. All this means is when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he puts a road for free on your path. But then he says, when tribulations, persecution come for the word's sake, if your roots go down deeply, you shall find yourself bearing fruit of longevity, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. By my grace, by my spirit, says the Lord. The good news is the path that God puts us onto in Psalm 23 says this, "Though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, surely goodness and mercy will still follow me every day of my life." No matter what the world throws at us, goodness and mercy always follows us right behind us, right there with us every day of our lives. I don't know what 2015 has in store for each one of us in this room today, but I do know this: goodness and mercy will follow us every day of our lives. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever by God's goodness and mercy. Amen. Number three is these words: finish strong. To be smart, to live smart, to move forward in life this year, 2015, we must choose this day to finish strong. There's a man I respected very much from the Bahamas who died in an airplane crash only a few months ago named Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe gave great impact to our lives in South Africa and also at our church here at Shoreline when he spoke there for a few days. Miles Monroe's wife died. His youth pastor died. Some of his major staff members died in that crash as well. We don't understand why things happen and take place, but they do take place. They do happen. But Miles Monroe's main theme was, to me, finish strong. This man had three tremendous truths that were born into my heart that I live by today that helped me out even to this day. And those three main truths, number one was here. He said, the richest place on the face of the earth is not the diamond fields of South Africa. It's not the gold fields of Alaska. It's not the oil fields of Saudi Arabia. The richest place on the face of the earth is the graveyards all across the world that contain untapped potential of dead people. He also said this: on the tombstones, there's a year you're born, the day you die. In between that's a thing that's called a dash. We're living in the dash right now. Make your dash count for God. Amen. That's very, very true. The third thing he said was, you must remain connected to all the thing that actually created you. Be connected to that all the days of your life. What he meant by that was, when God wanted fish, what did God do? He spoke to the waters and created fish. He spoke to the ground and made all the plants and all the vegetables and all the fruit trees. He spoke to the air and created birds. He spoke to the heavens and made the stars and the planets. He spoke to his own self and breathed life into a lump of clay that he formed into a man, and he put his own breath in that man, that being, that lump of clay, and created the first living person whose name was Adam. And as long as the thing that was actually made from what it actually was formed from stays hooked up to the thing it was made from, it'll bear life and be alive on the earth. But as soon as the fish leaves the water, and as soon as the plant leaves the soil, these things start withering up, start dying and passing away. And as long as we ourselves are hooked up to God on a daily basis, we shall live and thrive in Jesus' name. Amen? Let me get a drink here 1 second. I want to finish strong in life. I want to see all unwritten books written. I want to see all unwritten songs. I want to see them sung. I want to see poems come out. I want to see inventions get released. I want to see people getting counseled. I want to see demons being cast out. I want to see people getting saved. All that God has in store for your life, may it come to pass in your life. As you live out for God, the path and plan He has for you ordained from the very foundations of the earth. In 2015, with God's help and grace, may God help Cheryl, myself, and all of our leaders here help you folks reach your potential in Jesus and bear the fruit that God ordains you bear this year as a blessing to His kingdom, to who He is, and the folks around us we serve with God's help. I don't want to leave these opportunities that are key opportunities on the table when I die. I want to finish strong. This is a good time also to talk about New Year's resolutions. They found through research that 91 million Americans make resolutions every single January for New Year's resolutions. 91 million people do this. Within 3 to 4 weeks, 70 million people of those 91 million fail New Year's resolutions. Amen. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. To kind of play this thing out and see if I'm right or wrong, go to the gym this week. You'll find a line from the ellipticals to the door, and the treadmills and the weight machines and all the things you got to wait in line to use them January the 1st to January the 15th. Then go back March the 15th. There is plenty of parking right by the front door, and the machines are almost all empty. Amen. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. There are three choices that you and I have to make to finish strong in life. Write these three choices down if you do that, please, before we close. The first choice to remain strong and finish strong is this. Number one, we have to choose character over emotions. We must choose character over emotions. Emotions can lead us into making some good decisions and good changes, but character keeps us on doing those good changes and good paths and good roads. Amen? Character keeps you there. Emotions don't last very long. Character defined is a set of internal commitments that you make to objective values. Internal commitments made to objective values, things that are bigger than you are, things like truth, like honor, and like hard work. Those are all commitments to things that are bigger, values that are bigger than you are. They are internal commitments to things that actually are objective values in your life. In the old Charlie Brown comic strip, they showed one day, years ago, Charlie Brown shooting arrows at a fence. He shot the arrows, 3 or 4 or 5 arrows, and then he goes to the fence and he draws and paints a target around where his arrows hit. So every arrow almost was in the bullseye. And Linus goes to him and says, "Charlie Brown, that's not the way it's done. That doesn't work. That's not character." And I think you and I sometimes will sometimes shoot the arrows first and then draw the target around wherever our arrows hit at. When we drive our cars, we find divine suggestions of use turn signals, don't turn left, go 70. These are all divine suggestions. We shoot our arrows out and get close to that somehow, some way, but not quite hit the mark. But God, by His own grace, says, "My word is yes and amen." Don't just start shooting arrows out randomly and try to hit the mark in your own power and strength. Find out what I say, says the Lord, and hit that bullseye every time by doing things my way. Number two, choose sacrifice over comfort. Choose sacrifice over comfort. John Maxwell has written dozens of leadership books. One of his books says this quote here. He says, "Most people expect to pay a price to achieve their goals. Yet many people seem to have a vague concept of sacrifice. Viewing is something distant or far off, and so consequently, when their goals demand a significant investment, people are bewildered and resist giving up anything. If you desire to finish strong, you need to sacrifice earlier than expected and to give up more than is comfortable in your life." Can you catch that? That's true. Sacrifice must be there. Sacrifice is not a popular thing today. When the story of our life that was told years after our death, should the Lord tarry, Folks don't remember you by the comfort you acquired around you. They remember what you did to sacrifice upon the face of the earth. Amen? Somehow, someway, if our nation, America, ceased to exist next year, they would not remember us because of our big mansions, our big wealth, our big freeways, so forth, so on. They think about the sacrifices Americans made in the World Wars, the Vietnam War, the Great Depression, the Pilgrims. The sacrifices were made by pioneers and so forth. That's what makes our nation great in Jesus' name. What makes you great as well is sacrifices at God's direction, where God's grace was there, and God brings forth a great blessing on the other side of your sacrifice, okay? If you were to ask me today to define moments in my life, about what were defining moments in my life, it would always be about moments of sacrifice in my past. Not things I bought, not cars I drive, not homes I live in, not clothes I wear. It would be about the sacrifices I made where God showed up, God was there, God ordained it for a season, and the blessings God brought on the other side of the sacrifice. Last of all, number three, we must choose tenacity over dropping out. Tenacity over dropping out. Today is about talking about living smart. And I'm saying today it's about choosing the right road, staying on the road, finishing strong. Why are these things important? Why should I even want to rise above the standard operating procedures? What's the good in that actually even for me? My hope for you is that you'll live this life with very few regrets as your life gets older and the years go by in your life. I can say myself, there's some things I've done in my past 50-some years on this earth, 50-some years, that I have a few regrets about. Those regrets, almost all of them I may have, were always about second-guessing God. I heard what God said. I heard God's voice. I thought, but I second-guessed God, and I found out God is always right all the time. I'm learning to second-guess God less and less and less and obey God's voice the first time I hear what God says. Amen? Let's choose this year, 2015, I will quit second-guessing God. Hear God the first time and obey what God says. William Borden was a son of the Bordens who actually brought forth the great dairy empire called Borden's Milk and Borden's Ice Cream and Borden's Dairy. He was born back in the beginning of the 20th century, William Borden was. He was stated to be a person of wealth, of excess, of plenty and of comforts. At age 16, his family said, William, we want you to see what the world is like, so here's a ticket to travel all around the world for about a year and see what's in the world. As he traveled around the world, he began to see many, many unsaved people. He was a Christian. He began to really get a real burden for people that were Muslims. He saw many Muslim people who needed Christ as Lord and Savior. He comes back from his trip. He begins to pray, and he tells his friends, I heard God's voice calling me to be a missionary to the Muslims. They said, you're crazy. You have all these things at your feet as a magnet of all of this great corporation called Borden's Milk. You want to be a missionary to the Muslims. He enrolled in Yale University. He saw there were so many lukewarm Christians at Yale University back in this era. He began to form a Bible study himself. Of the 1,300 students in Yale University at that time, 1,000 students ended up joining his Bible studies, many getting saved for the first time. While he was there, he fed the orphans, he helped out the widows, he helped out the hard cases on campus who nobody could reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He spent many, many times and hours of sacrifice doing what God called him to do on the campus he was at. In his Bible, at age 16, coming back from the place that was where the Muslims were at, he wrote down two words in his Bible, the back of his Bible. The two words were no reserve. On graduation day from Yale, he writes down two more words, and those two words were no retreat. When he graduates, people are calling him. He's charismatic, great personality. He's from the Borden family. He graduated cum laude, 4.0 grade point average. Many, many companies wanted to be their CEOs and be in their corporation. He turned all of them down. Folks said, you're crazy. You give all of this up to be a missionary to people that are Muslims overseas. He boards his boat. He goes overseas. He says overseas he must learn the language of China, because in China was the Muslims he wanted to reach the most. To learn that language, he had to go to Egypt first and take lessons about their language in specific. During the time of being there in Egypt, he contracts meningitis, and he dies of meningitis at age 25. A few days before he died, he wrote two more words in the back of his Bible. And those two words were this: no regret. This man had no reserves. All reserves were off. The auction was off. I am not open to be sold by anything around me. I will do what God calls me to do. All reserves are off. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. Now, James, come back to the platform to help me out here at the end of this service, please. I want to say to you guys also today, I pray to you as your pastor that you may take your life, end your life, and see your life as it gets older, living a life that has very, very few regrets in your life, which is only possible if Jesus Christ is the center of your life. And he is the way and the truth and the life in your life that brings forth reasons and answers to the paths he chooses for you to walk down. They may not be free, but they shall be anointed by God's goodness and mercies every day of your life. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a moment here today for prayer. So I'm going to pray at the end of this service here that God begins to speak to hearts and lives and minister to people who may be those who have gone through some things in 2014 that have caused that path of your heart to receive some hardening in part, perhaps, because of what men have done to trample on your heart in the distant past, the near past. And God's got a good future still for you. I spoke this morning here on the fact that we're in an era of many believing they can do what they want with no consequences at all. But the truth is, all of us are on a road and a path that has consequences attached to it. Every road leads to a destination. Is the road you're on today the path that God's chosen for your life? Even your vocation, your education, your choice of dating people, young people, it must be directed by the Spirit of God, not by your mind, your intellect, your own imaginations. God knows the best path for you to take. At the end of every path, every road is a destination. God says, choose a road that gets us where we need to be. Finish strong. Have the character to stay. And also, see, my emotions will not rule me. I'll be ruled by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm committing myself today to something that's bigger than I am, larger than I am. I will sacrifice and persevere. And when I get to where I'm going, I'm going to write down no regrets, because I got there because God led me there by His Word, by His Spirit, by the goodness and mercy that follows me every day of my life. Father, I pray today, O God, for people that are in this congregation, each one of us, that are saying there's some things in 2014 where I saw man being used even by the devil perhaps to trample upon my hearts, to create paths and create packed down places that have somehow hardened my heart in some areas. Father God, your word says that Israel, because they had a hardened heart, they could not enter by faith in the promised land. So the next generation was raised up to do that instead of them. Let us, O God, learn from Israel's mistakes. We will not let Egypt, the things of the past, what man has done to us, place a hardening inside of our hearts that we cannot be those who receive the word of God, the seed of your word, and bring forth the fruits of 160, 30-fold that remains upon this earth. I praise you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're the God of a second chance. You're the God that speaks, O Lord, this day. You're the God that's for us, not against us. Let's all stand to our feet, please, before we close here and dismiss this service. I want to pray right now that you would take and think in your own mind, your own heart, because there have been things take place last year that you know that man has trampled on your heart. Betrayal, gossip, slander, misunderstandings, divorce, rip-offs, overpricing, all these things are ways that people walk on your hearts. And it's your choice this day. That will not become a path and a hard place in me any longer. in Jesus' name. I want the soil of my heart plowed. I want my heart to be supple and soft, teachable, trainable, full of faith, able to receive God's word in full measure, and then put down roots and put out fruit that remains in Jesus' name. Let's put our hands on our heart right now, please. Let's pray for our hearts. Holy Spirit, right now, as our hands are upon our hearts, we say, Father, take my hearts. I choose right now to forgive any person of anything they've done to me last year, 2014, they might have put inside of me an offense, a wound, a bruise, a misunderstanding, a betrayal. I right now, Father God, choose in my own heart to forgive them. I release them in Jesus' name. And I say this hard place in my heart shall be there no longer. I declare that my heart is plowed. My heart is soft. My heart is supple. I have the love of God flowing in me and through me. And I receive the rain of heaven, the dew of heaven, that brings a constant refreshing and softening to my heart. Nourishes every seed and brings forth a fruit and brings forth a stalk and brings forth that which is lasting in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, also this year, 2015, I posture myself. I choose to forgive right now anybody who offends me, even before they offend me, in the name of Jesus. I declare I am a Teflon Christian. It will roll off my back, off my heart, like water on a duck's back. And I declare, oh God, this day, my heart is soft, my heart is supple, my heart is like Christ's. I say there's so many grounds removed, the weeds are taken away, and all those things that hinder are removed from me. In the name of Jesus, I choose, oh God, to live smart and to move forward in the things of God this year. And I thank and I praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.